Hey, Joni, we missed you too. And thanks, you guys. Give them another round. I'm really excited about this morning. I'm like really ringing. Do I need to do something? You know, for those of y'all that have ministered and gotten to minister, you'll understand what I'm going to say, because the first of the week, God gave me a morning there where I had time to really just seek the Lord on what we were going to say. You know, every time I get to minister, no matter where I go, you know, it's one of them things where I want to be sure it's what fits the day and hour and the people. And a couple of weeks ago, when Corey was here last and ministered, we were in Sealy, and man, I really got to hammer on constitutional stuff, and it was really good. And I was kind of thinking, I ministered that like 2 weeks in a row at places, and that just doesn't happen. But it was really, really fun. And so then yesterday, I spent 2 or 3 hours yesterday morning, Miss Ross, just going back over everything the Lord gave me. And I was all excited about it. And I got up this morning, and I'm just praying in the Spirit and just thanking the Lord for what we're going to do today. And He said, just kind of free up a little bit. Be willing to give me a little space this morning. And I'm like, oh, thanks, Lord. You know, it's like, So I'm excited about what's going to take place, but I'm a little apprehensive, because when He puts you in those spots, it's like, Lord, please don't leave me hanging, which you know He won't. But it's just like, oh, geez, sometimes. Hey, y'all give a big round for tithes and offerings. We're fixing to do tithes and offerings. And just, you know, here, first off, before I do tithes, I want, are there any visitors? We get visitors every week. And if there's any visitors today, we want to welcome you. We want to get you a packet if you haven't got one, so you can fill it out. And just, we'll get in touch with you and just thank you for coming and ask you if there's any questions you want to ask about the church. But if there's any visitors here, would you raise your hand this morning so we can welcome you? Any visitors? Thank y'all. Man, thanks guys for coming. We appreciate it. Be sure you get, fill out the deal and let us know so we can do that. And you know, here at Cowboy Church, we do get excited about tithes and offerings. Because you see, Corey, when Corey and Jamie, when God had them move here and set up the church, He told Corey, don't take a salary at this church. He said, I want you to be able to teach on tithes and offerings. Because when we understand tithes and offerings, we then understand that God has opened the windows of heaven unto us. And that He's rebuking the devourer for our sake. But we have to understand that. We have to grasp that. We have to come to expect that. You know, and in Malachi, I want y'all to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, because I'm going to share a little bit in the meantime while you're turning there out of Malachi chapter 3, you know, where God told us. He said, bring all your tithes into the storehouse that there may be provision and food in my house. You know, and I see that for me personally, for me and Kathy, I think the way we've always taken that is, and of course, we've grown up, all of us grew up under Glenn, me and Corey and several others in here did. But the storehouse, some pastors sometimes will tell you that's just the church. I see that as the fivefold ministry, because that's the whole, that's God's storehouse. That's the people that are meeting, that are preaching the gospel. You know, and that's the ones responsible for feeding people. And you don't get to go to the grocery store and fill your basket up and go right through the checkout stand and wave at them. You got to pay for it. Well, God, you know, He told His people, He said, bring your tithes in that there may be provision in my house so we can continue as a body to share the gospel, to meet the needs of our local church, communities. You know, the church, I won't go there. But we haven't fulfilled our obligation according to the Word of God. And so, tithes and offerings allow that to take place. Are y'all in 2 Corinthians 9? So tithes, by this time, for most of us, if you're new in the Lord, well, we'll help you grow and understand this, but for tithes, that's just a responsibility. I mean, it's a no-brainer. That's a give me. It's like God gave His Son. He told us, you bring the tithe. That tithe means 10% of your income into the storehouse. I'm going to tell you, there's no way around that. I don't know how to make that any plainer. If you got a job and you make some money, you need to give 10%. That's the tithe. If not, you're allowing yourself to be stolen from the enemy and you're being deceived. So don't do that. Don't do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Are y'all there? I'll get there while y'all, if y'all want to share with me. But I get, you know, get excited about the tithing, because that's what opens the windows of heaven and rebukes the devourer. So when we step out into more in 2 Corinthians 9, we all know this. You know, it talks about starting verse 6, he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. And it's verse 7, it says, so let one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So I want to get cheerful about it, man. I want to, you know, when you first start, you think, oh, Lord, do I have to? But when you get cheerful, you bring God on the scene. Because in verse 8 it said, and God will make all grace abound toward you, so that you always have all sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. Skip down to verse 10. So it says, may he supply seed for the sower and bread for food. May he supply and multiply the seed you've sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. When we give offerings, when we give over and above the tithe, when we say, Lord, how can I help? How can I be a part? What we do is we're meeting the needs of the saints a lot of times, other members in the body of Christ, and we're causing thanksgiving unto God. It don't get no better than causing thanksgiving unto God, because He's not going to do without a cheerful giver. And so, isn't that goal? Please, just more, just get excited about giving unto God and being thankful, because you're giving. When we give over and above the tithe does too, but I'm talking about when you step out there and believe God, then He's like, I can move on your behalf. I'm going to prove myself for you. And so I want to share a testimony. It's been not too long back, Kathy and I, we were led to sow some seed, you know, and God provided the seed to sow, you know, we were all, you know, it was excited. It was just one of them deals where you just knew, God told you that. He said, here, I need you to get this into the hands of so-and-so. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. So I told Kathy, she's in agreement, that's good. So we do that. And I try to be very diligent about writing thank you notes to everyone. When you give into being Kathy's ministry, I try to make sure I get you a thank you. If I didn't, correct me, and I'll get you one. I don't mind that. I want to be that. I want to be diligent, and I want to be responsible. And so, anyway, we had sowed that seed, going up and just thanking God that we were able to be a part, you know. And a few weeks later, I'm writing thank you notes. And the one God had us sow the seed into, you know, we go a lot of different places to minister, and so we write those at the end of the month, the beginning of the first month after from like whatever you gave in September, where we get the thank you notes out first October. But we'd been to different places and around, and we'd been able to sow into these people, and I'm writing a thank you note, and as I'm writing that thank you note, the Lord said, I would like for you to see something here. He said, what you sowed into their lives was a hundredfold return on what they sowed into your life. And I'm like, wow, Lord. And He said, remind them of that and remind you and Kathy of that, so you become a little more expectant for the hundredfold return. And that was like, man, it so excited me, because we'd never got to do it that way. You know, and it was just such a blessing. And then so later when I got to share with those people that, hey, did y'all realize, you know, the Lord showed me and Kathy on the way home that day, actually showed me when I'm writing the thank you letters. Kathy mentioned on the way home, I forgot, Sean. But I'm writing thank you notes when He tells me that. And And he said, you know, it was so exciting to know that was a hundredfold return. And I just lost my train of thought as to what I was fixing to share with you. And he said, just become expectant to that. Well, so then, oh, now I got it back. Whenever I was sharing with them that still, they said, well, we just like you to know that the night before we are almost worried over a situation in our lives, and that what y'all sowed met the needs for that situation. That caused thanksgiving unto God. I'm not bragging on any of us. Them that sowed the seed, me and Kathy, I'm bragging on God, because when we stay tuned into the Holy Ghost, He's going to show you. Don't be scared of it. You know, when He tells you to give, you think, oh God, and you're like, I'm going to tell you what, the devil ain't telling you to give. He's not telling you to sow seed. So when you have that thought, it's generally not from Him. Okay? It's from God. Or because I've been praying in the Holy Ghost and building ourselves up on our most holy faith, we got direction. And so when we're obedient, and you know what? Just like praying in the Holy Ghost. It's not all, you know, what we do today is not always for a harvest, just tomorrow. God sees the end from the beginning. He knows what's coming down the road and exactly what time and when you're going to need it. So be obedient. Don't short yourself. So as y'all, after all of that, y'all can rush up here and just praise God with your tithes and offerings, and we'll pray over them.
But you died for me.
Test one. There we go. Brother Rusty asked me if we'd pray over the tithes and offering this morning. So y'all just reach your hand over to the tithes and offering today. Father, we just thank you that you are Lord of the breakthrough in every area of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the ones that have given today. Lord, bring the refreshing and the provision and the anointing, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. We thank you that you are faithful who promised. When you call us to give, you will do what you say you'll do, because you are who you say you are. We praise you, Lord, this morning for who you are. Thank you for the blessing and the increase. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing for you this morning. The kids are all gathered back here, and they're in the Lord's army. That's always our marching in song. So if you want to stand up, march in with us. If you know this song, I sang this song as a kid. You might have too. But they get really excited to sing this song, The Lord's Army. We're going to sing a few songs for you this morning. And I'm so thankful that they want to do that. Y'all, praise the Lord with us this morning. You know where the Spirit of the Lord is? There is liberty. And we in Liberty Hill. So we can praise the Lord freely this morning. I'm so thankful to be able to do that today. Y'all march these army people in now this morning. Y'all ready? I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. Y'all stand up. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Yes, amen. We're going to sing this song this morning called Be Bold, Be Strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. And you know what? I always try to make sure these kids know what they're singing, because I talk a little bit different sometimes. So last Sunday, we were singing Be Bold, Be Strong. And I said, what does bold mean? Does anybody know? And this precious little boy say, I ain't got no hair. But see, that's my fault. And I said, that's okay, as long as you bold. So this morning, we're going to be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Sing it with us this morning. Yeah. We're ready, brother. Y'all clap. Be bold.
Be strong.
Be bold, be bold,
be strong,
for the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid, I am not dismayed, walking in faith and victory, walking in faith and victory, for the Lord your God is with me. Woo! Yes! Louder! 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 Yeah, louder!
For the Lord our God is with me. I am not afraid.
No, no, no.
No, no.
Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. For the Lord our God is with me. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Be bold. Be strong, for the Lord your God is with me. Yeah, be bold, be strong. Yeah, loud. Walking in faith and victory, for the Lord is with me. Yes, amen. We always like to end with Jesus loves me, because I'm so thankful Jesus loves us right where we are. There's nothing you can do, have done, or will do that will separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I want you to know that today. We're going to sing Jesus Loves Me. Y'all sing this with us, okay? Jesus loves me.
Yes, I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
The Bible tells me so.
Yes, amen. Amen. Y'all give him a hand. Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you, baby. Thank you, baby. Y'all give him another hand now this morning.
And do know that your children are in good hands. I mean, just get all of our teachers and all that are doing so much. Please give them another hand.
Amen. Amen. This is God's chosen generation going to bring revival
Amen.
To the world. Amen. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
And so everybody's headed that way. All the youth out, everybody's going that direction. You got everybody headed that way. Perfect. Thanks, Morgan. Good deal. Give them another hand. Thank them so much. Oh, I think I'm going to have my wife come pray to open this up. Can I turn this one on too? Or is it not? I don't know which one it is. He's working on it.
Hello. There it is.
Before you pray, you know, husbands and wives, you're one flesh. You're a team. And you don't need to have any dissension, you know. And of course, for all y'all that's been married for any length of time, you know how you just begin to think alike. You know what they're going to say before they say it, what they're going to do so you can correct them before they do it. You know, things like that. Especially wives correcting husbands. You know, husbands, don't correct them. Just smile and do this. But no, I'm so thankful because I told him at Celia, if you know, God, I mean, I don't have time to share the testimony of me and Kathy's, how we wound up getting married and everything, but just the fact that God put us divinely together, and then when I get aggravated, he reminds me, I don't go there. And I'm like, yes, sir. You know, but these are divine appointments, and we're one flesh. And you need to be in agreement with one another so that you, the power that is in you. And I told him at Celia, if it wasn't for Kathy, I'd spit the bit. And there's no telling. Well, I mean, you know, I still serve the Lord. But she reminds me a lot. She's my Holy Ghost a lot of times. She speaks in things that maybe I didn't listen to the Holy Ghost this morning. But when Kathy speaks, it's like E.F. Hutton, I listen. So that old commercial. Not all the time, huh?
Not pray. All the time. God is so good. Again, it's just prayer. It's God. It's a dialogue, not a monologue. And we need to remember that. And he listens. Thank you, Father. Certus, thank you for this day. Lord Jesus, we just thank you and so appreciate you welcoming us into your throne room. Father, I thank you as we have entered into praise and worship for you. As Rusty brings the word, it goes into good ground, sir, because you have prepared the hearts. Lord, I thank you that your word will not return void, but it accomplishes all that it is set out to accomplish. I thank you, Father, for your anointing on Rusty as he is just a vessel, a water hose for you to pour your word and your spirit throughout to your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, baby. Well, I want to welcome everyone that's watching online and those that are, I guess, Facebook and online. And Miss Ross, is there anything else? Because that week you said you forgot things. Is there anything else I need to welcome? Howdy's going to remind y'all after church, but I'm going to remind you right now because I got a text. Listen, for you visitors, I'm not the pastor. Okay? Corey's our pastor. Howdy's our associate pastor. Me and Ricky, we're fill-ins. And we try to do what those guys and stay on line with them and where they're going, you know. I mean, God's so good because we have such a wonderful team here and it's so much fun to just see how God puts things together. But, so just know, I think he's going to be back next week. They're ministering in Daddle, New Mexico this morning at a camp meeting. Corey and Ricky and Daryl, right? And so they'll be in tonight. But for visitors, like I say, I'm not the pastor. So if you don't like it today, come back next week because there'll be some, you know, Corey will be here. And you can judge by Corey and not by me, Howdy, or Ricky, okay? You go that way. Well, just, I want to share some, just the title, if I'm going to title this message, this is like, Lord, I'm not believing I'm going to get, I'm going to title the message like this, but the old man is dead. The old man is dead. I'm going to tell y'all this. I want y'all to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute. But before I share that scripture, I want to tell you all a story. I couldn't believe I remembered this story either. A couple years back when I was in high school, I got a date one night, and cute little old girl, you know, and I don't remember why, but we run back by her house for something, and I worked at that time, I'd been working for one of the vets in town, and her mom always brought I don't remember what kind of dogs they had, but she'd bring them dogs in, and you know, nice family, you know, and stuff, and I think the girl's name was Kim, I'm not positive, anyway, we're there, Friendswood, where I grew up, and we were doing something. We swing back by their house, and we go in the front door into this kind of, I guess it would be like a dining room, you know, it's a big room, but it was real dark with a long table and a bunch of people sitting around that table and a candle in the middle, and they're all making these funny noises, you know, and they're chanting or doing something, and I'm like, as we walked through the room, I said, "What is that? What are they doing?" She said, "They're having a seance." I said, "What's a seance?" I'm dumb, you know. She said, "Well, they're trying to call back somebody from the dead." And I'm like, "Oh," Russ scooted right on through the room, right on out the door, and I never went back. I don't know if I ever had another date with her. I'm not sure, but I didn't need to be calling people up from the dead at that time in my life. I seen no point in it. I still don't, but, you know, I'm like, goodness gracious, you know, and of course, you know, for those of you that are 60 plus, you remember Ouija boards and all the Bewitched and all those things, and if you ever heard of Mike Warnke, who was a chief priest in the Satanic Church, well, you got to hear some messages on how, you know, that, and of course, at that time, some of us were so dumb to it, it never affected us because we didn't even know what, we thought it was a joke. And, you know, you didn't know, you know, at that time, and then later was able to repent from it. But the other day, and even this morning, as I'm up praying, the Lord said, "Yeah, I want you to title this, 'The Old Man Is Dead.'" And so, you know, Del Way had a song out about that, and it's pretty neat and stuff. But you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to prove to you that the old man's dead. I got to get there. You're all over there. I can quote it to you, but I want to look at it. And 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away." The old man's dead. "Old things have passed away, and all things have become new." And isn't that cool? I mean, the old man is dead, and a lot of days, we're trying to perform seances and bring him back from the dead. We're letting him rise back up. Last week with Howdy's grace and peace. I'm going to tell you what, when you're bringing up the old man, you ain't going to have no grace and peace when you keep trying to resurrect the dead man the old man that died when we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. When we start bringing him back, that robs the peace because we fall out from under grace. And it's like, and so the Lord, so Corey, I was gone when he ministered Living Right and Holy. So with Howdy's deal last week, I'm like, it was right in line with things that the Lord had been dealing with me on. And so I don't get to preach on the Constitution today. I don't get to tell you that rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. Just keep that in mind. I got to slip some of it in there, you know. But so I go back and I sit down the other morning and I watch all of Corey's message from the 12th. And, you know, Corey talked about living right. And, you know, and our responsibility as those that stand before you and preach the word is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And David Barton was sharing on constitutional things the other night, and he's talking about the numbers in the church and how it is a responsibility of the shepherd, the pastor, to shepherd the sheep. And this was sheep reproduce sheep. You know, people aren't just coming to church to get saved. They're supposed to be getting saved where me and you are every day. Because if the shepherd's reproducing the sheep, there's something wrong in the barnyard. Y'all get that? Sheep reproduce sheep. Shepherds don't reproduce the sheep. They equip the sheep. They nourish and help the sheep fulfill their obligation to provide nourishment, you know, meat and things out in the world where they are. And so it's our obligation when we stand before you to equip you to do. And Corey's, you know, 2 weeks ago he's that message. And so he calls me the other day. It's about something. Me and Corey. I mean, we will pick at one another just a little bit. And he says something, and I got real quiet. I just didn't really respond much, Miss Roth. And I said, you know, the Lord's really kind of been dealing with me in those areas. And I said, I'm not going to go there. And he said, I don't remember all that was said, but I said something about, well, I'm just, you know, the Lord's been showing me that if I don't pick those things up, they don't steal my joy. And we were kidding with one another about something, okay? It's not nothing serious. But he said, so are you telling me I don't need to go? I said, oh, no. You listen to God and you go where He tells you to go. But I said, I'm not picking that up because I don't want to steal my joy, you know. And the Lord was dealing with me on this. As Corey's talking about living right and how He's talking about grace and peace, you know, how are we to live? Well, if the old man's dead, we're to put on Christ and to live the life and exemplify that Christ called each one of us to live. And so where we are every day, that's our area of influence and our testimony. And it doesn't always have to be vocal. Because a lot of times, you know, it's not going to be vocal because more people are watching us than listening to us. And when you start to realize those things, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know, but not just for those people out there, but you see, when we pick up, let me go with my notes. Let me just, okay, we know we're new creatures in Christ. Ephesians 2:10, y'all know what that says, where God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus and born anew for good works that each one of us has been prepared to walk in. Psalms 139, in there it tells us that God planned out our days before the foundations of the world and He wrote them down in His book. In fact, go to Psalms 139. Because it's very important that we understand the foundation here. Psalms 139, you know. But it just so began to excite me because I'm going to give you another the things that the Lord was just showing me. Psalms 139, let's start in verse 13. It won't take but a second. For you formed my inward parts and you covered me in my mother's womb. It says, I will praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made and marvelous are your works and that my soul knows very well. My bones were not hidden from you. I was made in secret and skillfully put together in the lower parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And I like this. In your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Think about that right there. The days fashioned for me that He wrote them in His book. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. So God wrote, before He formed us in our mother's womb, He wrote our days out for us and fashioned us. And that goes back, you know, people read the, you know, our days have been predestined for us before the foundations of the world. And for a long time, I used to have trouble with the predestined thing, you know, because God gave us a choice. So how's all that fit in? Well, then I began to understand God wrote out perfect days for me and you. Divine health, every need met. Perfect knowledge of every situation and circumstance. We tap into that, as I think, one by reading the Word and staying in the Word, the other by praying in the Holy Ghost and building ourselves up on our most holy faith because we're praying the perfect will of God when we're praying in the Spirit. But He laid all that out for us. And you know, He laid all that out for Israel. Back there in the Jewish people, He laid out a perfect plan for every one of us to walk out and fulfill. Not that it wasn't going to be without challenges, distractions and things, but look at Deuteronomy chapter 30 Well, let's start in verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. We got to be doers of the word. See, I've set before you today life and death, life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go in to possess. That's a predestined good plan. Would you all agree with that? Okay, look at verse 17. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in to possess. So in cowboy, just everyday terms, you know what? If you turn away and don't do what I told you to do, you're going to fall out and you're going to mess up and you're going to step in a pile of poop and you're going to be wishing you'd have stayed on track. Because if you worship other gods and you say, well, God, I ain't got no other gods before. Yes, we do. We have self. I think that's the biggest god we put before gods. Because it's how he was, that grace and peace thing last week. I'm on, you know, judgmental, critical spirits, being agitated, comparing yourself with other people and their ministry, what they got to do, comparing your house to their house. What difference does it make? Fill the spot, but supply the joint in Ephesians 4, 29. Fill the 16 or 29, one of them, 16. 4, 16. He said, you supply what your joint's supposed to supply. You fill your spot. And as I do that, it's like, you know what? There's grace and peace and joy. Because I like being where God had me to be. And there's some days that people will say, well, you really need to do this or that, you know, especially Ricky and Laurie. They told us we need to move over here. And I can do this because we're close. And we understand when they said, you need to move closer. So I said, no, I'm halfway between my grandkids and my church. And I don't mind the drive. I've drove all my life. We rodeoed all our life. We drove hours. I mean, you know, when you leave Albuquerque, New Mexico and drive straight through to Omaha, Nebraska and take a shower in the back of the pickup in the camper, I mean, you get used to all that kind of stuff. Driving, this is an hour and 35, 40 minutes. You know, and we were just, I mean, we're playing with one and we're kidding and stuff, but we, you know, and that's why I can talk and say that. Ricky's not here. Laurie will call him and tell him. The rest is picking on him in church. Man, ain't it good to have family in the body of Christ? That you can just be real with and you can say, hey man, I need some help here. Well, you know, no criticism, no judgmental, critical, comparing spirits. When those enter in, it removes us out from under the grace of God and there's no peace. And so when there's no peace, then you know what? In our area of influence, people are looking at us and thinking, you ain't no different than the rest of the than us. You go to church and you talk about your God doing this and that for you. And look at you. You're grumpy. You're agitated. You're irritable. You're judging me. And that makes our witness of no effect. It actually drives people away. And God's wanting to draw. He said, you lift up the name of Jesus and you draw all men unto me. If you'll lift me up, I'll draw all men unto me. I'll give you opportunity to demonstrate my goodness that leads people to repentance and sets them free. Amen. Guys, so as I'm thinking about this, and the other night, me and Kathy, I'm not even going to tell you what we were at. Because I don't want anyone in here to think I'm talking about any particular group of people. But y'all know, people are gullible. And I don't know a nice way to say it, but there's a lot of stupid people out there. I mean, I don't mean that. I mean, it's too bad. And so for a long time, those kind of things would really agitate me, Angela. I mean, you're dealing with someone like that, and you think, you can't fix stupid. So the other night, I'm sitting there as my wife, she's doing her deal, and I'm watching people. And I'm thinking, oh, goodness. You really can't do that. You can't be that way. And the Lord said, you know what? When you allow those little things right there to agitate you and cause you to begin to get judgmental and critical, he said, it steals your joy. And he said, you don't hear my voice the way I'd like for you to hear it. And I'm like, I get it. And so when Corey was telling me something the other day, that's what I was insinuating was, you know, we're so quick to take part in conversations, even with people in the body of Christ, and allow ourselves to get caught up in conversations that we shouldn't take part in. We need to not criticize one another over it, but we need to be aware so that we help one another not get our joy, our peace, our discernment and things like that stolen from us by the enemy, because we engage in those things that absolutely are not living right. It takes away the grace and the peace. And so I'm like, Lord, I get it, you know. And so I've been on the ranch lately, and I've just been mulling over those things and thinking about them, you know. And he's saying, watch it. I mean, really good example for all of us in here is when you're driving down the road and you look over at the car next to you and the guy's got a mask on and he's the only one in the car. And so immediately, what do you... See, y'all think about it the same way I do. You look over there and think, you can't fix stupid. And the Lord says, no, but you can pray, because they're so eat up with fear, they ain't got no common sense left. And I'm like, yeah, but it's more fun to make fun of them. I mean, you think, oh my goodness, you know. But you see, because we're not, you know, I know this is in 2 Corinthians 2. Oh, 2 Corinthians 6, 17. Come out from among them and be ye separate. We need to be noticed as different. Not conforming to this world, as it's in Romans 12, 1, so be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, God would not have those people to be in fear. He wouldn't have them to be ignorant of those of how worthless that mask is. There's a whole lot of things just out there that people have just yielded to because they've quit learning. They don't know how to think. We need to be praying for them that the eyes of their understanding, Ephesians chapter 1, the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened so they would know what the hope of the calling of Christ is. What's available to them. You know, when we get on the homosexuality thing, you know, we don't need to be condemning them. I mean, God will convict them. I'm going to tell you what, I was thinking about this on the way here this morning. They're already convicted. If they weren't trying to prove that it was okay, they'd know it's wrong, or they wouldn't be trying to prove it's okay. And so, but they're deceived by the enemy, and they're being stolen from the very life that God planned for them before the foundations of the world, just like He did me and you. He ordered their steps. He wrote out their days in His book before they were ever born. And we're allowing them to be robbed of because we're not praying for them and explaining to them. You know, God said, you lift me up, I'll draw them in unto you. The duty's ours. The results are God's. And he said, so when you lay out there, what, you just lay it out there, let me deal with them. But when we just are diligent enough to say, you know, I mean, I you got to pray and ask God how, but it's just like this to me was, man, you're really being stolen from the life that God created for you. And they have no idea what you're talking about. But you just planted a seed that the God can work with. And, I mean, I know, guys, I'm old school. To me, queer's a queer. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. And if you look queer up in the Bible, it's odd and different. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And so that fits better than gay. I'm sorry. That's just the way I see it. But still, they're being robbed of. And they're being robbed of a life that God predestined for them, just like me and you. Fortunately, thank the Lord that our eyes of our understanding were enlightened. They got some more opening to be done. We can understand a whole lot more things, but thank goodness for we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we see when we're being robbed of the life God planned for us. And they're being robbed, and we need to help them walk out from under that. If it's prayer, whatever we can do. Just planting seeds. I mean, it gets difficult. It really does, because, you know, it's just the explanations that, you know, there's some conversations, just don't join in. Don't go there, because you do, it steals your joy. Let me see. That Deuteronomy 17 and 18, we need to guard our hearts so that we don't turn away and aren't drawn away and worship other gods. We worship that self deal of allowing ourselves to get critical and judgmental and comparing what God's called us to do with what He's called others to do. And that can't be, because we're just turn to Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 29. No, okay, 4:29 and 4:16. 4:16 first. You dare say amen. 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That part there lets us know that we can't compare what God's given us to do with what He's given someone else to do, because if we supply what our joint supplies, we help the body of Christ grow and mature. And we're helping them get their job done. And you know, there's some days it's like, you know, I watch some guys preach and I'm like, man, I left out a lot of stuff when I said, you know. And the Lord said, no, you didn't. You just do what I told you to do. You know, we've all got a message. We all got a spot to fill in the body of Christ. And I want to be good at filling my spot. Chapter 4, verse 29 says, lo, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to edify, and that it may impart grace to the hearers. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed for the day of redemption. I constantly declare that I'll not let no corrupt word, no communication come out of my mouth. Not, I don't. John, I don't always. I mean, I miss it occasionally. But I've noticed how I've become aware of when I'm saying something that I shouldn't have said. And then I'm quicker to repent, because I don't let the enemy say, oh, you said that, man. God ain't going to know. You shut up. I'm your worst nightmare, sucker. Because I recognize the strategy and deceits of Satan. And I'm going to put a stop to them by speaking the word of God out of my mouth in faith. And when we begin to do that, then we're quickened to those things that rise, those strategies and deceits of Satan. Critical judgmental spirits, comparison, you know, getting agitated. I mean, really, to the person with the mask in the car. We let those things get under our skin because we think, how stupid can you be? That's a strategy and deceit of Satan that stole some of your peace for a moment. Now, maybe we got it back real quick, but don't go there. God's just telling me, He says, Rusty, don't go there. Just leave it alone. Because He said, when you walk under my grace, in my peace, and you live holy lives before those in your area of influence, you're going to draw them to me just because you be who I called you to be. And I'm like, man, it gets easy. There's no pressure. You know, we wonder why we're not effective, and it's because we allow our joy to be stolen. And it's like, don't do that. He said, just don't go there. Learn not to go there. Don't be disturbed. I like that, disturbed. Here, let me read this to y'all. This was Gloria Copeland, September the 11th. The day before me and Kathy went down to Sealy. Don't be disturbed. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. That's Psalms 33:10. As I read down through that deal that day, I thought that was so cool. He said, don't be disturbed. When you see something you run into that gets under your skin, don't be disturbed. That's a strategy in the seat of Satan. You know, we're supposed to be past all those fits of carnality and things. Not, I mean, it's still going to happen because we're still here on this earth. But at the same time, we should be up to a point. We've been hearing for years now how to walk in faith, how to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Now, God's saying we're in the last of the last days. And Jesus said, you know, let's go to Matthew 24. We're in the last of the last days. We can't allow those little things. We have to recognize the strategy and defeat of Satan, because we got people out there that are dying, going to hell, because we're so wanting to protect our little image and our little self, our selfishness, to the point where, well, I don't have to associate with them. I'm not going to put up with that stuff. You know what? We are here for such a time as this, even though some days we don't want to be. This is where we are, and we've been equipped, and so we just as well suck it up and get on with it and fill our spot, and we're going to be a lot happier. Even though some days I'm like, oh Lord, let's go somewhere for a few days and get out of this junk. You know? And you can't get away from it. It's everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. It's everywhere. It's like, goodness gracious, I tell my daughter, I said, don't engage in those conversations. It must be more prevalent in Canada than it is in the United States. I really don't think so, but it's everywhere. It's everywhere. That's crazy, but it is. Matthew 24, the disciples, you know, they're talking to Jesus about the destruction of the temple, or the temple. Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple. Verse 2, it says, and Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming, of the end of the age? And Jesus answers and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and I will deceive, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and plagues in various places. I've had plagues. All these are the beginning of sorrows. They will deliver you up to the tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Are we not in the middle of that at the moment? I mean, we're just right there. We know that. So look over now, verse 36, same chapter. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. People think they're okay. Just like they did in the days of Noah. You fool. Why are you building a boat? What's that for? They don't even know what a boat is. It's never rained. They ain't got no lake. They got, you know, and they're like, they don't even know. Never needed that. I suppose. Isn't that right? They didn't have a clue. Noah didn't know what a boat? Ship? What are we building this for? For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Now, as I'm reading that the other day, I went over to the Passion Translation and read the commentary in both the New King James and the Passion. Have you read this? Okay, in the Passion Translation, I'm thinking about all this. Just Jesus said at the beginning of the chapter, all these things are going to happen and the end's not yet. And so the Passion Translation describes, as in the days of Noah, The wicked were taken out and the righteous were left. We got an end time harvest fixing to take place. And I asked kind of a guy that's got some scholarly things about him concerning the Bible. This man knows the word. I said, is this a dual meaning? What do we mean here? Are we in a spot in this nation that we're fixing to see the wicked take it out, the righteous will be left, there'll be an end-timed harvest. Then, the next time, the righteous will be taken out and the wicked will be left for the tribulation. It gives me chills. I got no idea. I'm not saying that's thus saith the Lord. Don't say Rusty said. You just take it that I believe we're in for a season to where... And part of it, y'all, I'm going to admit, it's because I want to believe a bunch of these wicked are fixing to be taken out. I want to believe that. And God's going to pour out His Spirit. Not that we're not going to still have to deal with it, because the persecution, the enemy's not going to give up. We're in the last of the last days, and it's going to be there to deal with, but God always works on behalf of the oppressed. And I'm not saying we're oppressed. I'm just saying, but the people on the border, the people in Afghanistan, God ain't liking this a bit. And there's people going to... I'm telling you, the exposure, the restitution, and the restoration are coming. I don't know what that entails. I'm not going to try to tell you and describe it, but I do believe that we're in that time. And I don't know if this is a dual meaning or not, but it excited me because I'm thinking, man, that's pretty cool. You know, I'm just like, wow, this is really good. So... let me see where I'm at. I don't even know where I'm at. Oh, Matthew 28. I won't tell you just where yet. I want to remind you. Guys, what Howdy preached last week, grace and peace. What Corey preached the week before, living holy. You know, setting ourselves up, conditioning ourselves, programming our spirits to be doers of the word and to demonstrate the goodness of God in our actions, in how we talk to people, not being judgmental, critical, not being disturbed. For me, it was don't be disturbed, Rusty. Don't let those things bother you. Because, yes, those people, in your eyes, they're ignorant and stupid. He said, in my eyes, son, they're full of fear. And the eyes of their understanding have not been enlightened. And it's your job, the church's job, my children's job, to bring them into the kingdom, at least give them the opportunity to see who I really am, to demonstrate the love of God in a manner that sets them free. Because perfect love casteth out fear. And I'm like, that's a big order. You know? I mean, some days I can, you know, I'm so thankful for, you know, I don't know what everybody in here does, but like for Howdy at the school, guys, to have teachers and coaches at the school like Howdy that are godly men and women, when we got to pray for our schools. I mean, parents, we got to teach our children at home, and then our children go to the schools, those that, you know, and yeah, they're going to be persecuted. But build them up as they begin to speak out and just let people know where they stand. Support them. Because as they do that, God's going to bring in more teachers like Howdy to support those kids. And then we take the schools back over. We take the city councils back over. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. That's tyranny in this nation. I don't care how you want to describe it. That's what it is. We have a tyrannical, illegitimate administration in our White House right now. And they are domestic terrorists. That's the way I see it. They're rebelling against this Constitution. And this God set this nation up. I told you I'd get to go there a little bit. God set this nation up and gave us God-given unalienable rights. And we're not to yield them over to the devil or those that the devil works through. We're not to yield them over. We've got to bold and be strong and take a stand. And as we do that, God will honor it. Yeah, we're going to get persecuted for our people, going to say nothing, but you know what? Don't be disturbed. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. You know, this is just a... in eternity. Just a vapor, just a short period of time. I know for all you young ones out there that are 25 and under, you're like, man, this guy's, he's too old. He thinks he's dead. As you get older, you see those things though. And you understand that, you know, yes, God gave me dreams and visions. And Lance Walnut, the other night, he said his daughters were saying, Dad, what about our dreams and plans? He said, don't give up on them, babe. He said, God put those in you. They're for a time and a season. And so don't give up on those dreams and plans. You know, Jesus said, we're in the beginning stages of the end times. I think we're closer to the end than we are, a lot of people think. But no matter what, God said, until I come, you do business. You occupied. I've given you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You exercise that authority. Jesus said, what you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. And what you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. So get up in the morning, bind them devils and bind them corrupt spirits that are trying to overtake our government, our schools, and come against them in the name of Jesus. And when we, it's important. Don't be disturbed. Jesus said, don't be disturbed. Matthew 28. I'm going to close with this right here. I think. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In all of this, our main responsibility is to go make disciples of all men. Wherever our area of influence is, wherever God's placed us, but we got to be sure we're living right so that our testimony demonstrates that goodness of God. I got to lay aside all the weights and the sins that beset me so I can run with patience the race God set before me. I got to shape up. You know, there's things in my life. You know, I'm going to tell you something about praying in the Holy Ghost. And for those of you that got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I hope you're praying every day. And if you ain't got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you won't come up here after church. We'll get you some. We'll get you done. Because you need it. Because I tell you, this is, and at first, you may not look at this as a real blessing of praying in the Holy Ghost. But when you start praying in the Holy Ghost, you're praying the perfect will for your life, okay? You know what? That's not always roses. Because when you start praying, God, you're praying in the Spirit and you're praying the perfect will for your life, and then the Lord says, you need to take and deal with this area right here. I'm like, why, Lord? He said, because that's interfering with your testimony. That's interfering with your ability to bring people into the kingdom. Because you allow it to disturb you. You allow it to interfere. And I'm like, okay. And so you deal with that. And he said, phew. And here we go. And then you start it in the next few weeks later. He gives you a little break sometimes. And then he'll say, we got another area here. He said, you ask. You're praying. My perfect will for your life. I want you to clean these things up so that you can be effective. You can experience my grace, my peace, my joy. I want you to be a vessel of honor for me. And each one of us wants to be that. But we got to make our mind up and say, you know, Lord, whatever you got, wherever you want me to go, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to do. I'm willing to speak. And I won't be disturbed. I will not let it bother me. I don't care what people say. Because they persecuted you, Jesus, they're going to persecute me. And so I'm just going to step up and fill my spot, supply what my joint supplies. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Father God, I thank you this morning that I believe I shared what you'd have me to share. I believe your word doesn't return void. Lord, we're fully capable with the help of the Holy Ghost, Father, as we yield ourselves to you, of just coming in and filling our spot. And there may be someone here today that, Father, maybe they realize today that you planned their days for them before the foundations of the world, and they're not real happy with where they've been. Well, maybe they haven't come into the kingdom yet, and they don't know you. If that is you today, it's real simple. All you got to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that God raised him from the dead, and you need him to come in your life and be the Lord of your life and yield yourself to him. So if that's you today, we're all going to pray a prayer, and I ask you to pray that prayer with us. Make Jesus the Lord of your life, because he's got a destiny for you that I don't care what you think you can come up with. It ain't as good as what he's got for you. So let's all pray this prayer. Father God, thank you today for Jesus. Jesus, I realize that I need you as my Lord and Savior. So I ask you to come into my life, forgive me my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe that you're the Son of God and that God raised you from the dead. So today's my God day. Today's the day I walk out to fulfill my destiny. The first day of the rest of my life. In you, Father, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If today's the day that you made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to just count to three and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. We won't embarrass you. I just want to get you a Bible. And so, one, two, three. Anybody? Anybody? Okay, y'all look up. I thank y'all so much for today. I mean, I think it's a very simple. I mean, it's just simple. Jesus is simple. You know, I mean, God is just like so good. And to just, he's just really been dealing with me in those little things. And Howdy, I thank you for last week. I mean, this week I just kept thinking about his own ranch, grace and peace, grace and peace. And then I watched Corey and he said, you got to live right. There's some things in our lives that, man, they can't be there no more. As children of God, we got to get them out. We got to lay them aside and say, Lord, what would you have me? And you don't have to go, you know I need to shut up and get down, but look, be very careful who you ask the Lord who you would have when you need to share something with someone. Make sure it's someone that you can really trust. You know, you need to have someone, you know, there, and Jesus didn't, all of us, I mean, to have friends, there's acquaintances and there's friends and there's those that stick closer than a brother. But be careful. Don't just go out broadcasting things. You know, don't share with everybody. Ask the Lord, Lord, bring someone into my life that I can share this with that helps me overcome or maybe it's not even to overcome nothing. You just need to share something with somebody. Make sure it's a God divine appointed relationship. Don't just share it with everybody. That's the strategy that seeks of Satan because somebody's going to hear it. And I'm going to tell you what. We can walk out this door. I can tell Miss Ross something. And when we walk out this door, and before we get to the parking lot, there'll be three different versions of what we said, at least. And it's not, that's just human nature. We put those things and we misunderstand. When it's not a deal of misunderstanding, but we use more adjectives and more things. And it's like, I'm not saying that's not what I was meaning, Miss Ross. If we're talking about something, me and her can get out the door and both of us would be sharing something that, I mean, before long this story would get all twisted. So just be real careful. And be careful, parents, as you share with your children. Because you want them, you know, you want them to hear. Remember, husband, wife, you're one flesh. And you got to be in agreement. So I'll shut up. Thanks, guys. I appreciate y'all. And remember, visitors, I'm not the pastor. Don't let me forget my water.
Red?
Yep. Oh, boy. That's sharp. So what you heard today was the cowboy version of the Bible and ministry today. So if... I mean, we all preach it, but I think you're more cowboy than any of us. He is cowboy, I tell you. But Jesus was a cowboy. Anybody born in a barn was a cowboy, had to be. He didn't participate in the rodeos, but he rode a donkey. But you tried that once. I think we all have. I think we all tried something once, at least once. I was reading something last night, and I think it was in Romans 7, and it's talking exactly what you're talking about. You know, the old man passes away. You know, in Romans 7, it talks about how you want to do right, but then there's things that keep you from not wanting to do right. But in your heart, you really want to do right. But there's this thing called sin that's in you. It's an invader. And that was how the Passion, I think the Passion translation said it. It's an invader. that causes you to think certain things or to do certain things, even though in your heart your intent wasn't to do that, because you know what's right, but you still do it wrong. And you knew it was wrong when you did it, but you did it anyway because your flesh wanted it. So everything you just said was exactly, goes along with what even Corey was talking about, you know, just being holy. It's time to start walking in holiness. It's the end times, guys. We got to be ready. We got to be ready, because they're going to come to you. They're going to need your help. The world is going to need you. We're their only source of salvation. They don't know who Jesus is, but you got to introduce him to him. That's your responsibility. Introduce them to the Savior. He's the one that's on the inside of you. Amen. God, that was so good. So good. A few quick announcements and we'll get out of here. Of course, we have Bible study every Tuesday night. Now, they did start a book that they're going through, and it's not too late to be a part. I think they're in it maybe a couple of weeks. You can get the book and jump right in with them, but they're going through a book. So every Tuesday at 6:30. If you're interested in that, you know, come see us. We'll get you some, you know, information, find the book for you if we need to, and help you get set up for that. Also, the women's conference, I believe it's October 16th. Is that correct? And it's like 9 to 3. So they'll serve breakfast and lunch. And I think it's $30 to sign up. So go online. You can go. I might have a link on Facebook too. Or is it just on the internet? It's on the internet. It's on the website, so just click on the link. It'll you know, tell you all who's talking that day, but they're going to serve breakfast and lunch. You'll be here for a while. They'll take breaks, of course, because, you know, have two or three different speakers, but it'll be October the 16th. But that's a women's only conference right here at this church, okay? So don't forget to get signed up for that if you haven't already. Family social, it's, if you haven't done and don't know what family social is, it's today at from 5 to 7. There's a flyer out in the front, but it's basically you're going to other people that open their house to you, and you come over and you bring food and you sit down, you just fellowship. You get to know who people are in your church. So that's what that is. It's the family social. But there is a flyer out front if you're interested in doing that. 5 to 7 today. And also, don't forget the Organica water. We got the cases outside. To give you a brief description of what that is, it's organic water. And it's as organic as you can get. A lot of the waters that we buy that is at the store, it is filtered. It is, you know, they do put solids in there to make them taste a certain way, et cetera, et cetera. But, you just gotta try it, you know. And if you have never tried it, they'll give you a free bottle out there if you just want to try it. But everything that you don't have any free bottles this week? Okay, so I retract that statement. As Edna would say in court, you know, or somebody would say in court, you know, I retract that previous statement, strike it from the record. It's out. Okay. Okay, so I forget I said that. If you just want my opinion, and you want to eat and drink healthy, you know, which I agree with, and, you know, we got to take care of our temples. But Organica water, it's out there. They'll give you a case if you've got cash, if you've got money. So, but there's no more freebies. That's over. But also the funds help, you know, help with the church, help build the church, you know, a lot of things that we do here. So you never know until you try it. So just get you a case and just trust me. It's good. Okay. Any other announcements? Did I miss any? Hallelujah night. Okay, now are we bringing candy? Okay, so Hallelujah night, which is going to be that Sunday, which is October the 31st. It's on a Sunday. Please bring candy. If you bring it, we will bring it into the foyer somewhere, or bring it out there somewhere. Just if you bring candy, find one of us. We'll tell you where to put it. Okay. Sign-in table, at the sign-in table. Okay, so we'll have all the candy, you know, set up. We like to take, you know, get candy here. Try to bring stuff that's, you know, well, wait, I'm thinking Easter, things that don't melt. It doesn't matter what you bring. Easter, you got to bring things that don't melt, because we hide them outside and it's hot. So bring whatever you want, okay? And bring a case of water if you want to. I don't care. All right, y'all get up. Let's get out of here. We've had enough. We're done. But bring some candy for Hallelujah night. All right, so let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for a wonderful day. We are so honored that you are with us, and that you love us, and that you care about us, that you go with us, you educate us, you give us understanding and enlightenment into your word, Lord. We love you and thank you for that, Lord. You never leave us nor forsake us, and we know that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're the first and not the last, the head and not the tail, and so are we. We're all of those things with you, Lord. And we thank you so much for loving us and guiding us through this next week. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. You're dismissed. Big round of applause. We'll see you later. Thanks for coming. And by the way,